Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem HSP Shir number 41. That's Highly Sensitive People Shir number 41. And this is going to be the last Shir on the book Sensitive by Gene Graneman. We're going to start off talking a little bit about the work environment, and then we're going to give a summary of the very important points. And then we're going to see whether we're going to probably turn into other subjects of personality. Maybe introversion and extroversion and other aspects, not necessarily always highly sensitive people. And then we may go back to the Highly Sensitive People series as I do more research. I still have certain material and books to read regarding HSPs and their feelings and their intense emotions and in romantic relationships and things like that, and other types of things. I have two more sources that I want to look into. But I may switch now to overall understanding personality types after this year. So regarding workforce, a boss's comments about a messy desk could cut like a knife. And sensitive people have sometimes a lot of difficulties at work. There's challenges. Some people basically expressed it this way. They say, I find I'm able to create a safe space that allows clients to open up about their struggles. The benefit of that is helps get to the root of problems more quickly. Sensitivity helped me find the right approach that's best for each individual. So you see here, some sensitive people learn how to adapt to their work environment. It's not always easy. You need siyata deshmaya to have a healthy work environment and daven for it and do your best with whatever you have, to learn and figure out ways to reduce the visual clutter in your workspace, to maybe use noise-canceling headphones to help, or, you know, take regular breaks when you need to. The right emotional environment for sensitive workers. Workplace could be very difficult environments for any person. Another thing is that's very important, is very often HSPs don't find their work meaningful. They have to really feel deeply about their work. And if they don't, they don't, then they handle it. But it's much harder if it has less meaning to you. And because they don't feel valuable, they don't feel important. And a sensitive person, especially everybody, especially as a Jew, needs to realize that actually going to work, whether it's the man, whether it's a woman, and you're there for a purpose, and you're doing something that's the best you can with it, is an achievement in and of itself. If you're creative, you're likely to be highly sensitive. That's why sometimes, if it's possible, self-employment helps for sensitive people, because they feel more satisfied with their self-employment than with a traditional job. Whether it's designing or photography or videography or furniture restoration, or launching a business, or selling your own items and doing your own things and selling your own products and so on and so forth. All this is more rewarding for a highly sensitive person, and they're not bogged down by having bosses and coworkers that are a pressure to them. And try to avoid possible jobs that have strong amounts of conflict or confrontation or competition or noise or a hectic physical environment, or toxic people. And that's a very important concept. So, and there's also idea, many highly sensitive people do fewer things, but they do them better, like deeper work. That's where their gift is. Sensitive people can do that deeper work. One person put it this way: I'd like to talk to you about how much deep work versus shallow work I have been doing. Deep work is completing my part of our project or finishing my work plan. Shallow work is like replying to emails and attending meetings. Both are important, but for my job, what's the ideal ratio between the two? And HSPs thrive more on the deeper aspects of their work. They thrive in being thorough in what they do and very careful in how they go about doing it. And that's their gift, and that's their calling. Expand your view of your own power, of your own potential, of your own role at work. Adjust tasks as you do them. You know, work through the changes that need to be changed. Sometimes you have a skill that's important to develop, and that you can do as well. So these are a few aspects about work. Another aspect that's very important is overall sensitivity and the embracing of it. Many highly sensitive people do not believe that they're capable of leading anybody or of influencing anybody, because they are slower in reflecting and more empathetic, and a leader is generally not known to be as empathetic because you can't get things done unless you toughen up. But there is a sensitive way to lead. That's the anecdote of the toughness myth mode of leading. It's not yet valued in the society, but it is an important way of leading. There's a lot what highly sensitive people have to contribute, and it's very important to feel empowered when you have the ability to influence, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in various different capacities. When they do lead, they tend to be reflective. They're more likely to analyze every detail, what works, what doesn't work, adapt. They have a sharp intuition. They sense what something doesn't feel right. They're creative about things. Here are some words of people that are leaders and they're sensitive, and they talk about what the strengths that they have as a sensitive leader. And remember, all those listening now, then they feel it's way beyond their realm to actually be a sensitive leader in a business per se or in some type of huge way. But you could do this in a power of influence in smaller ways. So it's important to hear this regardless. So one of them says as follows: I currently lead a high-profile technology project. I found that my sensitivity is helpful in many ways. I have a good eye for detail and how all various pieces of the project fit together, a skill that helps me keep it on track. Because I can understand, or at least try to understand, other people's points of view, I'm able to get along with colleagues in many roles. This ability comes in handy when I need to work with people in other groups who may have viewpoints and priorities that are different than my own. Another person said as follows: I can sense that my managers need just what they need by the tone of their voice. I'm able to fill the gaps of where they are weak. More important, conflict made me so uncomfortable that I got a master's degree in conflict resolution and then became a certified mediator. Ever since, I used those skills to teach my team and my children how to better communicate, how to better listen, how to better work together. Being sensitive means I often see team dynamics and staff needs earlier and more accurately than the top executives do. This foresight allows me to better address those issues. And another woman said that I often find myself the one among friends to take up the lead. Part of it is my sensitivity traits. I process things deeply and quickly, which means I can synthesize large amounts of information, whether it's opinions on what game to play or what to do about a problem. And I turn conversations that are aimless discussions and I turn them to practical problem-solving discussions. You trust your intuition. You do possess secret knowledge. You know things that other people don't. You may find that less sensitive people aren't even aware of these issues, and the lack of awareness is not necessarily because they're not important or insignificant. And when you speak up, and you speak up with a courage and with a kindness, you can save lives and you could actually help people. It's important for sensitive people to break free from shame cycles. That's me. There's something that's flawed in me that I need to be changed. This is the toughness myth. I have to be tough. Who says you have to be tough? You have to regulate. You can't be a shmata. You know, you have to learn how to stand up for yourself at times. But who says you have to be tough? Who says that's a gift? If you need extra time to write an email, so what? If you need an extra break at work to, you know, calm your brain, so what? Rather than viewing it as some type of embarrassing secret, it should be recognized as a normal, healthy trait that we all share to some degree. And it's normal. And the fact that we have a heightened awareness of it is a strength, not a weakness, even if other people don't recognize it as such. It's important to self-talk about your strengths, and let's go through some of those strengths. I help those around me feel heard and understood. I catch important details that others might miss, whether in my work, in my relationships, or other parts of my life. I can more quickly notice when my energy is low and when I'm getting run down. This awareness helps me avoid the point of burnout that others might reach. My mind doesn't stop at shallow answers. It looks at the big picture as well as the nitty-gritty. It keeps going until it has breakthroughs. The depth helps me come up with solutions that others can't see. Since I feel things so strongly, anything I do and create carries that intensity, which permeates my values and passion projects and work and relationships and more. I cry easily because I'm moved easily by life, and not everyone feels the beauty of life in this way. I can see connections between information that seems unrelated to others. I follow those connections. I can see truths that don't occur to other people. It makes me creative, and with practice, it makes me wise. I tend to look ahead and think of all angles more than other people do. This tendency helps me avoid mistakes and notice small problems before they become big, and overall be better prepared in life. My intuition shows me a path forward. I can often see a unique way to solve a problem and accomplish a goal. I bring perspective to less sensitive people, which they don't have access to. My empathy helps me consider other people's needs and perspectives. So you see here the concept that she quotes Elaine Aron saying, when you say highly sensitive person, you're born to me among the advisors and thinkers, the spiritual and moral leaders of your society, and that's a reason to be proud, or recognize that's a gift from Hashem. You can talk about sensitivity in a way others will listen. It means that you process both your experience and your environment very deeply. It has gifts. It has challenges. I have both sides of that, and I'm proud of it. I'm not looking to change how sensitive I am. It's a good thing. I won't give it up. I have to channel it in better ways sometimes, but I will not give it up. It's one of my best qualities, being a highly sensitive person. I wish more people would embrace it. She says nearly 1 in 3 people, I think it's somewhat less, 20%, that have this highly sensitive aspects emotionally or physically, because their brains are wired to process this information more deeply, and they feel things stronger and make connections that other people miss. Now, one also needs to protect themselves, because when you are highly sensitive, people are going to say you're too sensitive, and that's a form of gaslighting. Gaslighting is based on a 1938 British play, Gaslight, and it became a movie. It's about a dishonest husband who drives his wife to mental health crisis by persuading her that she imagined certain things, like sounds in the attic and their house's gaslights growing dimmer. In reality, he did those things to steal the family's jewels. But this is what they tell them all the time. You're overreacting. You need to toughen up, grow a thicker skin. You're crazy. You take everything so personally. You're overreacting. It is terrible. It is terrible that people do this, sometimes by well-meaning friends, even, unfortunately. And narcissists, your overreacting allows them to cast you into an irrational person. You're the overly emotional one. Don't take the bait. Focus on the gift of sensitivity. Focus on yourself in a healthy way. And this concept of embracing healthy sensitivity benefits everyone. It's the way of the Torah. The Torah, clearly, when you lurk all through the Torah teaches you how to use your cognitive brain, your intellectual brain, and your emotional awareness brain. Both. Mahu rachum afata rachum. Just like he, Hashem, is compassionate, so are you compassionate. Hashem kaviyochel is giving us that. He's telling us there is a sensitivity there. Hashem is sensitive to each one of our needs, in particular, in what we need. Take pride in those softer skills, like emotional intelligence, when you're doing everything you're doing, when you're interacting with everyone you're interacting. That is very, very important. And like I said, this is the last shiur right now for HSP. We will probably move on to other personality type topics. But we will, as I do research, come back and numerically label it, this is 41. When I get to the next one, it'll be 42 of HSP. So we'll keep that series aligned numerically, but we will probably, it'll probably be, you know, we'll have personality types discussed first. We may discuss introversion, which is not necessarily HSP-like in describing introverts and extroverts. Maybe we'll do the MBTI before the Enneagram, and we'll play that by ear. But all of this will develop our skills to become better people, enhance the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro aspects of our lives in the way Hashem wants us to do in order to enhance marriages and in order to enhance our lives. Bracha v'atzlacha.